This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels. Road School Moms Live. I'm one of your co-hosts, Kimberly Travaglino, a full-time road schooling mom to four kiddos, and the co-founder over at fulltimefamilies.com, the resource for all your full-timing family needs with children in tow. On this Sunday night and every Sunday night, I'm blessed to be joined by my lovely co-host.
Hey, it's Mary Beth Goff, your road trip teacher, also a full-time traveling homeschooling mama to four kiddos, and the author and creator over at Road Trip Teacher, your resource, educational resource, actually, for homeschooling, traveling families. We also like to chronicle our travels and the things we do over at Diary of a Road Mom, so we'd love to have you follow us over there. And I am coming to you live from Southwest Florida again this week, and I'm so happy to join you from wherever in the world you are. It's great to hear your voice, Katie.
Yeah, thanks. I'm sorry I missed last week. I edited the show that you did. And I loved it. Put a little love in your road school. Perfect. Just so timely for Valentine's Day. And I loved all the resources you shared. But I did miss you last week. And I'm super encouraged to be on the phone with you this week from our destination. It's been a month of travel. I've been traveling for a month, Mary Beth. But I'm finally in Arizona, where we are going to start staging for Kidscapade, part of the Escapade program happening in Tucson in March. So I have a super mega huge praise report. I want you to know that not only I, but myself and the James Gang towed our homes 18,000 miles without a single required repair. No tires gone, no axles gone, no broken things, nothing, without a single repair, 18,000 miles. So that's times two rigs, so that's 36,000 miles and no repairs. I'm praising the Lord on that all day long.
That's awesome. You know, you should, I mean, I guess you're there for a while, but oh my goodness, I can't believe you said that out loud, but that's awesome. That's really a lot of, that's really having said something, seeing as how I couldn't get 6 hours from Southwest Florida to Tallahassee a couple weeks ago without, I don't know, 15 things going wrong, but hey, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, the truth is that this is the first time we've experienced that kind of mileage without any situation. In fact, this time last year, we actually experienced a fire just trying to get from Orlando to Del Rey, which is only 3 hours. So this is 18 miles. It's taken us. Well, it's taken us every bit of every day since the Tuesday after the rally. So it's been a long, long journey, but we're happy to be parked now for a month in this location. It's one of our favorite locations in Arizona. And like I said, getting ready for Kidscapade. So super, super excited about all that. Now, I was on the Road School Moms Facebook group right before the show, and I saw some awesome pictures from your Road School week. Tell me about that.
Well, let's see. I was trying to look back and see what I posted. I was trying to edit that. But I, you know, we had a really fun and crazy week. One of the things that I gifted to my road schoolers for Valentine's Day from me was a mom date. And so Tyler's was a little retroactive because we knew that we were going to get to do this last weekend. And since we didn't get to talk about it, I decided to post it in our group. But I, Tyler's wanted to go to a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert for a really long time. He's my retro kid. I think he was born in the wrong decade. So I scored two tickets to the Lynyrd Skynyrd concert in Southwest Florida. It wasn't too far from us. And I took him to Tim and I, and we went and we had an absolutely awesome time. And what else? We went to a car show this week that was here in the area. And I took Tori on her mom date. We went to Build-A-Bear. That was a lot of fun. And, I don't know, we just had a lot of fun this week. I don't know, it was a road school week, but it was a fun road school week.
That's awesome. Well, slacker than I am, I did not get my pictures up, but we also had an amazing road school week, which included sailing down White Sands in the middle of the week. I think maybe that was on Tuesday. And then Thursday. We spent the whole day climbing on the rocks over there at City of Rocks. So much. You know, both of those are New Mexico spots. And there's New Mexico, they call it the land of enchantment. And boy, are they right. There's so much to see and do in New Mexico. If you are someone who is interested in getting on the road and you're interested to see all of God's creation and beauty and splendor and awe, just hightail it to New Mexico, because there's so much to see and do there. It's beautiful. Fantastic.
And then
we sprinkled in some extra driving and finally got here. So it's been good. Last night I was able to spend some time with Road School grandparents, FTF grandparents, Kent and Dana Butterfield, if you know them from their experience on the board. They share a lot of experience on the board. Kent used to be a writer for FTF Magazine. They are disaster relief people. They've been to all the major disasters across the 50 states that have happened, Joplin, Oklahoma City, New Orleans, Louisiana, you name it, they've been there doing disaster relief. So it was wonderful to sit and visit with them yesterday. And this week I'm looking forward to finally getting back to my routine. We haven't done any school since before the rally kicked off. Our last school day was Friday before the rally week.
It's good for a break sometimes. You know, I was looking at my road school pictures and I forgot to mention, and then we'll get back to what you're getting ready to talk about your routine. But we went to the Edison Parade. I forgot that too. You know, it's the the Edison Ford Estates, which you know I have talked so highly about. We went there a couple of times. They have an awesome program, all kinds of things. It's really a knowledgeable, it's a great road school trip if you're in the Fort Myers area. But they have this Edison Festival every year at this time, and the highlight of that celebration at the end of the week is the Edison Parade, and so that's what we went to last night. And speaking of road school routines, it made me think of the one picture that I did post in there that was, you know, we're using the Apologia's Botany, their creation series. Botany is what both my girls are doing, so fifth grade and second grade, actually doing that together. They have separate journals. Taylor has the regular student journal, and then Tori, who's a little bit younger, she has a junior journal. But they're using that botany curriculum, and they really like it. And so that has spurned a lot of flower planting where we're at, because, you know, we're pretty stationary here for a few months. So that gave us the opportunity to plant some different flowers, and my girls are having a ball taking pictures of how those progress from when we first planted them, and then when they've got blooms and all that. So it's been a fun project. So how are you going to get back in the routine of road school this week?
Well, we're just going to hit it bright and early on Monday morning. And, you know, we can't do one single show without saying morning time, even though you and I do morning time differently. We're going to start with our Monday morning time, which for our family is a long devotional time where we read Jesus Calling for Families and all different Stormy, I'm not going to say her name right, Audemars or something like that. She's got a whole bunch of different prayer books, so we pick a couple different prayers to read out loud and just talk about our week and our day and how we're going to dedicate it to God. So we'll start that, and then we'll break out, and the big boys will go off because they're pretty self-led, and the little kids will sit at the table with me, and we'll do, you know, reading and mass and writing. And then Dominic will come over and we'll do his math together. He's rocking his math workbook this year. And Blaise's doing Life of Fred, and that's completely self-led on his part. And then we'll call it a day. We'll probably wrap up right around 1 o'clock. And then that's when I start I put on my second hat as co-founder of Full-Time Families, and I start working on my Full-Time Families responsibilities. So that's how my day breaks out. How about you?
Well, you know, tomorrow's President's Day. You know, I know you've been traveling, so you may not be even following the calendar very closely.
Nope.
But tomorrow's President's Day, right? And so speaking of morning time, I actually have the ABCs of the President's copywork laid out for my road schoolers for morning time tomorrow. That's not something we usually do in morning time, but because it's President's Day, and that road trip teacher guide has got kind of a president's theme. It actually has some information in there about President's Day. So we're going to use our morning time tomorrow with that after our devotional time. And I'm hoping that will spur a writing unit for each of my kiddos. I've never done this before, but I seen something earlier this week on a website called learning from the primary pond, I think it was, about doing a writing unit. And I'll have to say that I'm crazy about unit studies and all kinds of, you know, theme studies like that, but I've never actually done a unit on, like, a writing unit. So I've downloaded a couple graphic organizers that I found free over at Teachers Pay Teachers, and I'm going to try to put together a writing unit tomorrow from that President's Guide. And what I mean by that is, if you've never seen a copywork guide from Road Trip Teacher, it is a lot of mine are called the ABCs of whatever, like the ABCs of the National Parks. That's one of my bestsellers. What's in this President's is another one that a lot of them like, but it's basically 26 facts. Each fact starts with the letter of the alphabet. Obviously, it's an ABC order. But what I thought was, since we're using that copywork guide tomorrow, I'm going to, for example, my second grader, I'm just going to work with her on the sentences and sentence structure. My fifth grader, I'm going to encourage to pick out one of those presidential facts and just write a paragraph on it. She's in fifth grade. My seventh grader is, we're just now really focusing on like a five paragraph, you know, essay type paper. And so I'm going to encourage him to either find one fact or one president that he wants to write on, or maybe three facts to write in, kind of put in the, in that kind of an essay, like a five paragraph essay. And then I'm going to encourage my high schooler to try to use as many of the facts as he can in a paper about President's Day. So I thought that would really encourage him to use his brain and try to maybe organize the facts, or, you know, organize them by however he sees fit. It's kind of, I think for him it'll be maybe a little bit more of a creative writing assignment. But, you know, writing is not something that we have really focused on this year yet. And I realize that it's something that I feel pretty strongly about. And so we're going to work on that for the next couple weeks. So this is going to kind of kick it off for us tomorrow with this writing unit.
Fantastic. Well, now you've inspired me to change my whole day because it's President's Day. So I'm going to have to, I have a copy of the ABC's of President's from the Road Trip Teacher, so I'm going to have to dust that off. And I don't know. I think I might follow suit with some of what you're doing. That sounds exciting.
I'm so glad we talked about this. Pretty ready to go. Yeah, well, you know, if you're listening live tonight, email me, info@roadtripteacher.com, and I'll be glad to send you your copy of that President's Guide for free. And if you're listening to us on a replay after President's Day, that's okay, too. Send me that same email, and I'll be glad to send it to you and let you try it out.
Fun. So fun. Well, today's show is all about stuff, and I want to tell you that, you know, I mentioned it right at the top of the broadcast. We've been traveling hard. And one of the reasons why traveling is so arduous for my family these days is because we just have too much stuff. It's ridiculous the amount of stuff that we have. And when you are traveling hardcore, you may or may not know this. I have a toy hauler. And so what that means is stuff that belongs outside when I'm stationary for a while must be inside when we're traveling. And so essentially a whole 10 by 12 section, 120 square feet of my camper is out of commission while we're traveling. So since Tuesday after the rally, which was, I don't know, let's say February 7th, I'm just making up days, until now, which is the 19th, so let's say 12 days, I have been living in 350 square feet less 120 square feet because of all the stuff. And the stuff I'm talking about is bikes and a grill, like a full-size residential grill, and carpets for outside, and the bins that we carry all these rally supplies in, and just an enormous amount of stuff all packed into the back where two of my kiddos normally sleep. But because we are traveling so hard, their beds are also taken over, and we essentially have to live in, you know, less than 200 square feet, which isn't bad for a day or two, but for 12 days gets to be a little much. So one of the things that we're going to be doing here is getting rid of some stuff. And I'm really excited because we're having this discussion on stuff right now. And on the 21st of February, I'm also going to be doing a webinar with Escapees. You can go to escapees.com to get your spot in that webinar. And it's going to be even more detailed stuff about how families downsize and organize their stuff. But tonight's show is really specific to families that are already on the road with maybe too much stuff, or maybe unorganized stuff. So I've written out some tips, and we can share them. Do you have a list of tips too, Marybeth?
I do. I'm going to refer back to a couple of things that I've talked about in the past and a couple of notes that I have. But before we get started on that, you know, I'm going to turn your attention back to when you crazy, do you remember you started a challenge? I did not take part in it because I knew I wouldn't do very well at it. But remember when you decided to lose a ton?
I do remember.
Full-time families, it's on the Full-Time Families website, and you documented 5 days of all kinds of craziness that you gathered and got rid of, and just in 4 days you got rid of 416 pounds, I think it was. That's a lot.
Right, and ultimately I was able to lose something like 936 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it included a television, my oven, my kitchen range,
mm-hmm.
a variety of things went out the door during that lose a ton initiative. I didn't obviously make it to a ton. I only made it to half a ton, or right about half a ton, but I felt better for it. That's actually my first tip. My very first tip for people for organization and storage is to start with less, much, much, much less than you even think you need. And when you think you've narrowed it down to the bare minimum, cut it in half. Like, literally get rid of half of that. When you think this is the least I can live with, just take half more out of your RV. And you will be so much happier for it. You know, we offer, there was another show we did, because I still get emails about it, about stuff, something, what to keep, what to toss, I think was the show that we did, for people who are packing and getting ready to launch on their adventure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about
and
that. What
that
to keep
show,
and what to toss. Yep.
Yeah. In that show, I offered a free copy of one of my books called Buried Bliss, 7 Steps to Finding True Happiness by Losing It All. And I will, again, extend that offer, too, if you're listening tonight, either live or on a replay. If you send me an email to Kimberly@fulltimefamilies.com, I will send you a free digital copy of Buried Bliss. And that, you know, goes through, it talks about why we have the propensity to accumulate too much stuff in the first place, and then gives you actionable steps for how to really pare down. And it's not just for if you're going full-time in an RV. Maybe you're downsizing. Maybe there's been a death in the family and you need to clean out someone's house or apartment. Obviously, stuff is emotionally connected with us on many, many levels. And so dealing with the emotions of stuff first is how we limit how much stuff we come into our own house. And I tell you, I need to read my own book, because it's ridiculous up in here, all the stuff we got. So that's my first tip, much, 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 much less stuff.
Yes, you are a lot better at getting rid of stuff than I have. So, you know, my first thing is I try to organize. You get rid of the stuff. I try to organize the stuff. And then eventually, if it doesn't work, I guess I eventually try to get rid of it. But I try to organize the stuff. Case in point, remember when I had the whole puzzle thing going on, and Tori loved puzzles, which she still does. And so what I did, because we had all those, she had a lot of those, I can't think of what they're called, Melissa and Doug puzzles. And she absolutely mm-hmm. loved them, and I couldn't bear to get rid of them. And she, you know, I think you and I talked about it even on a show one night about keep, you know, picking out her favorite three or whatever. Well, that just, it didn't work for us. And so what I ended up doing was figuring out a method of madness to my puzzle keeping. Instead of keeping all those boxes, I basically let her keep one for each day of the week, which equaled 8. That was like 7 days in a week plus one. And what I did with those puzzles was I found a stamp. And I actually talk about this in a post that we'll put in tonight's show notes from Road Trip Teacher. But I found 7 different or 8 different stamps. And I took all the pieces from one puzzle and I put that stamp on the back of them. So all those puzzle pieces had like a circle. And then I took another puzzle and I, on the back of all those pieces, I put a star. You get the drift. So there was 8 mm-hmm. different little stamps or 8 different little, you know, whatever. You don't have to have a stamp. You can just make a mark with a, you know, marker for that matter, but some kind of identifying mark on each one of those puzzle pieces. And then I had a box that I divided in sections. And that's how I kept those pieces. But you could do the same with a Ziploc bag. Just put each piece in the Ziploc bag. And then the idea of the stamp, obviously, is if, you know, they get mixed up for some reason, then you can, like, identify them separately. And then I actually also took the, I guess I must have cut out, I'm looking at it right now. I guess what I done was I cut out the box top and kept the picture of the puzzle, and I stuck that in the bottom of my box, or you could put that in a Ziploc bag. So that's my tip, is if you have things that you can't get rid of, or something like this that really does take up a lot of space, but you don't have a lot of space for it, then try to figure out a solution by, you know, organizing it down, and don't be afraid to get rid of, in this case, like, you know, the box it came in. If that's really not conducive to, you know, if you don't have to have the box, then figure out what else you can store it in, you know, to cut down on the footprint of that item in your RV.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's awesome. Okay, my next tip is focusing on multi-purpose items. Focus on essential tools that can do more than one job. And I'll give you an example of something I use every day, which is a multi-use item in my house. And Mary Beth, I know you use it almost every day too. And it's my Instant Pot. It's a rice cooker, slow cooker, pressure cooker, yogurt maker, and just all-around amazing pot. If you haven't tuned into our Instant Pot special, I think that was a Thanksgiving special a couple years ago, you're going to want to do that, because we talk about all the advanced tips to using your Instant Pot. But that's one example, right? I was able to actually take out my range and my stovetop when I got my Instant Pot. So that's one thing. And then another thing is furniture with built-in storage. I looked around the house and I thought, oh, there's an ottoman and there is a stool that both have a storage potential and seating potential. So that's one way to maximize your space and use multi-use items. Do you have any multi-use items in your house that you use, Mary Beth?
You know, I have to say that my number one multi-use item is my Instant Pot. When I got that thing, I got rid of my crock pot. I got rid of, eventually I got rid of a small skillet, because I found that I use a saute feature and I didn't even use my small skillet anymore. I got rid of probably four or five things over the Instant Pot. I'm looking around. I don't know. I can't think of what else might be multi-use in my house. Although I have a big long ottoman, like you talk about, that's used for storage and for seating. So that's a very good tip.
Cool. What's your next tip?
Yep, I'm looking. So my next tip is, gosh, now you've got me thinking, is that the only multi-use item things I have in here? I'm like, that's such a fail. I'll be thinking about that for the rest of the week. What is my next tip? So my next tip is to think about the things that you use that's kind of maybe only for one, like, for example, for one time, like our swimming stuff. You know, I think that it's hard to make a place for things like that that you don't really use every day, but that you need to keep easily accessible, or you need to keep it handy. And so I find that for me, if everything has a place, you know, then it's so much easier to keep everything together. But then I also think that, you know, there's only so much space to keep all this. So what are you going to do with suntan lotion, or what are you going to do with beach towels, or things like that? So I have, when I have things like that that I don't know what to do with, I try to put them all together kind of like mind or whatever, you know, in a like place. And well, for that, it's my Ready Set Swim bag. So I keep everything like that in a bag, all the sunscreen, all the goggles, anything that has to do with swimming. I even roll up my beach towels and put those in there, the ones, you know, all four of the ones for the kids. And I keep that bag handy. It's in ours. I keep it in, you know, the first compartment of our storage, but that way it's always handy. If we're leaving in the tow vehicle, then I can grab it. If we're at the campground and I want to go to the pool of the campground, then it's right there to grab and go. And, you know, I do the same with our road school supplies. If you remember, KT, I've done a post, gosh, I think it's one of my most read, called It's in the Bag, and that's where I keep all of our road school supplies as far as things that they need hands-on, like pens and crayons and markers and glue sticks and scissors. And if you want to check that out over at Road Trip Teacher, I will put that in the notes as well tonight. But that's everything that I keep in my road school bag. So for me, I find that having a bag or some sort of container for all those like items that I can keep together helps me keep the clutter down, and it keeps a home for all those things that I really don't know what to do with.
Yeah, and I love your Ready, Set, Go bags. You have several of those. You've got, like, the Ready, Set, Road Trip teacher bag where you can go take your road school on the road immediately, and your pool bag, although I do have to laugh because I do recall a Legoland field trip where it was freezing cold and someone grabbed the pool bag instead of the warm clothes bag.
Yeah, right? That's because the warm clothes really didn't have a bag. They were just laying somewhere and somebody grabbed the wrong one. Or maybe they did grab one. I don't know, but that was terrible.
Oh,
that's the most cold I think I've ever been in my life.
I know, you were so blue the whole time. I felt so bad for you.
Cold and wet.
Oh, goodness. Oh, boy. Okay, so my number three tip here is clothes. Speaking of clothes that we were just talking about. And the short answer is layers are the key to warmth. And the long story is that you don't need a full four-season wardrobe to be comfortable. If you are, in fact, following a temperate climate with your road school adventures, then focusing on a wardrobe with layering opportunities is the key to paring down. Tees, tanks, jeans, shorts, cardigans, and jackets is really all you need. Now, of course, this is for you playboy mamas who are having your road schooling kids up in North Dakota. And Lord knows we feel for you. This is for people who are really following the 70-degree climate all, you know, up and down the 10 and the 20, and as the summer progresses, you know, higher up into the 80. But really, that's been the most versatile thing to our wardrobe, is just being able to add layers. And so if it gets cold out, we, you know, just keep layering up until we're comfortable. Also, I want to have you keep in mind that I have a packing list for road school kiddos, and it is a packing list that I myself ascribe to and have for the last 7 years. I find that it keeps my clothing completely in control. I want to tell you that I am a reformed clothing fanatic. When we went on the road, I donated 7 Leaf bags of clothing to Goodwill. 7
wow.
Ginormous Leaf bags. They wouldn't even fit in my bedroom right now. And I'm looking around my bedroom. They wouldn't even fit in here, how much clothing we had as a family of 5 back then. And that's when the kids were really little. My oldest was 7, so his clothes weren't even that big. But since we went on the road, we've been following this road school kids, SDF kids packing guide, and that's available at fulltimefamilies.com, and it's also available in our best-selling book, How to Hit the Road. And that's how we make clothing work. We have just one dresser for the 4 kids to share. Two of the boys wear share clothes. Dominic and Blaze have worn the same clothes since Blaze was about 8, 9 months old. Tonya has obviously her own wardrobe, and DJ has his own wardrobe. And each kiddo just has 3 little drawers. You know those collapsible storage cubes that you can get at Walmart or Target. They each have 3 of those, 1 for tops, 1 for bottoms, and 1 for underwear, bathing suits, and incidentals. That's it. That's all they've ever had. And Chris and I share a closet and have a couple of little Rubbermaid drawers for our underwear and bathing suits. Otherwise, that's it. That's how we keep the clothes down in here. And even with that, we have to purge quite often to turn over the wardrobe. Another great tip is if you're coming to an FTF rally, go through all your drawers, because we usually have a clothing swap right there at the rally. So you can take out what doesn't fit and bring in what does fit. And my last tip regarding clothes is don't save clothes that one set of kiddos has grown out of for another set of kiddos. I know that people really like to do that. They think, well, you know, I've got an 8-year-old boy and then I've got a 5-year-old boy, so I'll just hold on to these 8-year-old clothes for the 5-year-old when he's old enough. That's just too long. And you can get away with that in a house when you have a garage, but you can't really get away with that in a camper. So don't do that to yourself. I promise you, if you're part of the STF community, you will be blessed with clothing for your kiddo to wear. It comes from all over the place. I think I've got some of Tori's clothes in here that Tonya enjoys. So don't hang on to that clothing.
Yeah, that's a great tip. That's so funny because I had 2 bags of clothes that I put together to bring to the tally rally, and I accidentally left them in my car. I forgot we weren't towing my car up there for that rally, and I left them here. So when you said that, I was like, oh, there's those clothes outside that I still never got up there. You do so much better with clothes. You know that we fight that in our RV because I'm just I don't know, there's certain things that I can't get rid of, and so I hold on to longer than I should. But for us, we just have the one closet in the back of our RV that we all share. The way I've kind of organized that is I have these little closet organizers that actually go on the clothing rod. I think you've seen them, KT, and I think they probably are used, like, maybe in clothing stores. That's how they write the sizes on them, like, you know, small, medium, and large. Except for on mine, I obviously put everyone's name, Tyler, Tanner, Taylor, whoever, and then I've separated the closet by that, and that's how we share that space. And then we're blessed with several drawers and cubbies in the master bedroom that we just kind of divide up, so that's where all of our clothes go. But I'll have to say that that is one of our biggest challenges, is clothes, storage, and organization. We fight it. And as our kids, you know, as my kids have gotten older, when we first started traveling, it wasn't such a hassle. But now that my kids are older, especially my boys, oh my goodness, you know, they're wearing adult-sized clothes now, so it's just a lot. It's a lot to take in. So paring down and purging often is definitely a good tip. So my next tip is about, I don't even know how to say this. Like, so kind of think outside the box. Like, you know, when you look in your cabinet, don't be so focused on the, you know, what that cabinet's made for. Like, if it only has two shelves, and if those shelves happen to be, you know, really deep or really tall or whatever, then, you know, buy those organizers that you can use to, you know, maximize that space. You know, if you're using it for dish storage, for example, and your dishes only go up halfway, then that means you're wasting that space between where that ends and the top of the cabinet. So that's when you would want to measure and go find, you know, those snazzy little, you know, like little wire things on feet that you can put in there, and that way you can put dishes under it and dishes on top of it. You know, that's a good tip. I know for me, I found some over-the-door little baskets that weren't necessarily made for this, but I use them underneath my sink in my kitchen and turn, like, the aluminum foil and the Ziploc bags, I turn those on end, and I put those down in there kind of like a magazine rack, which that's another good tip. Those magazine racks are great for all kinds of things. You can also use those for aluminum foil type storage for those kinds of, you know, rolls of plastic wrap or any of that kind of thing, or Ziploc bags. Those magazine files are really good for that. So just think outside the box. You know, towel racks are good, or wine racks, wine bottle racks are great for towel storage, right? You can roll up the towels and stick those on there. I've seen a great picture in, I think it was in the Road School Moms group, or maybe it was Full-Time Families Board this week, if somebody had a chrome, just a real simple chrome wine bottle rack, and they had mounted it in their bathroom and had all their family's towels on there. You know, there was like five or six, and they were rolled up. So I thought that was a great idea. So just think outside the box when it comes to storage and organization, because what it's made for is not necessarily what might work for you in your house.
Absolutely. And I just want to add to your tip, enhance your tip a little bit. If you have one of those wonky cabinets like Mary Beth mentioned, and guess what? Every RV does have at least one of those, and some of us have several of those. You know what? Don't be afraid to hire a carpenter to get the shelves put in and adjusted the way that you need them to. That's totally within the realm of something you can do in the RV to have that built-in storage to suit your needs. Or you can even add more built-in storage. When we took out our stove, we hired a carpenter to turn that whole place where the stove had been into a storage spot for us, and that's worked out really, really well. So don't overlook the opportunity to add storage or change storage up with a professional's help if you need that. Okay, my number four tip on my list is cleaning supplies, and I'm going to go radical here and say you only need one. In an RV, cleaning is super easy and super fast, and the best part is you can ditch all the cleaning supplies and use just one cleaner for all the dirty work. We like a basic essential oils cleaner. Young Living sells like a thieves concentrate that you just put a little bit of concentrate into your spray bottle and mix it up with water. And you can use that for a long time. We just use our own essential oils to make our own version of that. Super easy, super fast, super cheap. And we wipe everything down with it. And I feel really comfortable and confident that A, it's getting clean, and B, it's not toxic to anybody. So if I clean the counter and then someone puts a cookie down on the counter and then eats it, yeah, sure, I've got crumbs to clean up again, but I know that nobody's getting poisoned from the cleaner. So that's what we do. We only use one cleaner. How about you, Mary Beth?
Yeah, us too. You know, that's funny. I hadn't even thought of that as being a tip, but that's exactly what we do. And I, when I started using essential oils, I had that thieves cleaner, but I now, over this past year, have really gotten rid of just about everything that I have as well, and we use these for everything or some version of that with maybe something else. But, yeah, that's an awesome tip. I love that. So the next tip I have is about linens, because I know that that's one thing that everyone talks about. And if they have your guide to hitting the road, then they can read your guide about how many things to take of what. But in our house, I didn't know what to do in the beginning. And so I had, I think, probably two sets of sheets for everyone. I had all these sheets and pillowcases, and I had all this craziness going on in our RV. And then I finally figured out that, you know, everybody had their own sheets or and pillowcases or whatever that they used basically every day. And then what I did is I pared down all the extras, and I just kept one set of, like, okay, so in our house we have a king-size bed, we have a full-size bed, and then we have a couple of places that use twin sheets. So I just kept one each of those extras because, you know, goodness, you know, forbid that you'd have something happen in the middle of the night, like if somebody would get sick or something. Hopefully you won't have two or three different people getting sick. You would only probably need one change of sheets in the night. So I got rid of all the extras and just kept one of each size that we needed extra, plus whatever was on everyone's bed. And that's how we pared our linens down. And then I love to fold up the fitted sheet and the flat sheet and stick that inside the pillowcase that it goes with, and then just wrap that up. And we actually put that in a closet, which, having said, you said something about hiring a carpenter. You know, we did that last year in our, we have a Class A. And so in the closet, there's this really cool shelf, but then it drops off at the end. And that was like the black hole. That place in the closet always caught everything that nobody knew what to do with. They would throw it in there and, you know, it was never to be seen again. And so at one point last year, we took the plastic shelves out of the bottom of the closet that I'd been toting around since we started traveling. And I also had a carpenter come in and just built some really easy shelves. And on those shelves, I put 12 by 12 baskets and labeled the baskets according to whoever was using it for what. And then on that, on the end of that closet, like I was just talking about, that had the big black hole, I had the carpenter put a lid on it so that it was, that area was exactly the height of the rest of the closet. And so then it was still really a black hole, but it had a lid, and so that prevented everyone from just throwing things in there. And what we keep in that space now is all the extra blankets, and then those extra linens I was just talking about that I keep in the pillowcases, I keep those in there as well. It keeps it clean and dust-free, and it's easy if, you know, you need it in the middle of the night or something, you know right where it's at.
Ooh, I love that. And again, I'm going to add just one more thing to your tip that we do, and this goes back to my first tip, go bare down to the bare minimum and then cut that in half. We only have bottom sheets for every other bed except mine, because my kiddos don't make their beds well, and the top sheet is just an added layer that they don't want to fuss with. They each have their blankets that they prefer to sleep under. They prefer not to sleep under the top sheet, so it killed me to do, and this is where we talk about the emotional attachment we have to stuff, because, you know, it seems like you need to keep the sheet sets complete. What are we going to do? And I remember 7-8 years ago going on Facebook and saying, am I going to regret getting rid of the top sheets? And enough people chimed in to give me the confidence I needed to get rid of the top sheets. And I've never looked back. So we only have fitted bottom sheets, and then they sleep with their blankets on top of them, and they're snug as a bug in a rug. So that's one of the ways we have tamed the linen beast in our rig.
I like it.
Okay, so my last tip for the night is one in and one out. And this is easier said than done, but I'm going to give you a tip to actually get it done. So what I mean by one in, one out, I think you already know, I think you get my drift, is that if you bring something in to your camper and it's not consumable, it's going to be living with you for the duration, then something needs to go. And so what I want to challenge everyone who's listening to do is to actually take it out of the bag or the box that it comes in, you know, bring it into your household, find where it's going to live, what its place is going to be, and then fill that same bag or box that it came in with something that's going out. So you know it's like a one-to-one spatial or weight ratio that you are getting in and out, because it really, it just piles up way too fast. And when I am diligent with this one in, one out thing, I am a much happier person.
Yes, I love that. I love all your tips are general. I've been more specific tonight because I've just tried to go back and think about things that have really worked for us in specific situations. And so my last tip is specific, and that is pegboard, because, you know, that's my current obsession is pegboard. I'm kind of obsessed with it. So in one of our compartments underneath in our basement, and it's kind of a shallow compartment. It's not very deep. I don't know that I would use up a whole compartment just for that, but this one just happens to be, you know, very shallow. And so we cut a piece of pegboard and mounted that in there, and then of course have all those little hooks on it and can hang tools and things, you know, that you can see, adhesives and you know, just stuff that you want to keep outside that you don't necessarily want inside the rig, but it helps keep it organized. And when you open that compartment, then, you know, you can see it. And so I've adopted that inside as well a couple of places. And again, you know, you can get that cut to fit. You can actually even get it cut to fit at the, you know, home improvement store. They'll usually cut it for you if you ask them to back there. You just have to have your measurements ahead of time. And I've done this underneath my kitchen sink on the one side, just a little piece of pegboard. I actually spray painted it the color of the inside of my cabinets, which, you know, you could spray paint it white if you were a white person or whatever, you know, wanted a specific color. But then just put those little hooks on there and you can hang your pots and pans, or if you have, you know, something like that with a little loop on the end, it's really easy to hang those up there. And about a week ago, I found these nifty little baskets that have those little hook things on them. So you can also hang like baskets on there. So if you want to put stuff inside the baskets as well on the pegboard. So current obsession, pegboard.
Ooh, I love that. I hope that my next, this is a bonus tip because I was done with my tips, but you just reminded me when you said pegboard. I hope that my next bonus tip doesn't set you on a whole new obsession. But I did happen to see several months ago that Road School Mom Misty Taylor had gotten herself from the Home Depot a sheet of aluminum, decorative aluminum. This is something you can craft with. You can use it to cover areas that you need to, like, you know, I can't think, like a register, like a heat register in your home or whatever. Well, she had gotten herself this sheet of decorative aluminum. I'm on Home Depot site right now. It's about $16.98 for the 24x36-inch sheet. And she had spray painted it, and she'd used it to hang up all her earrings. And I have been completely obsessed with that. Every time Chris tells me he's going to Home Depot, I ask him to find me the decorative aluminum. He's found it once, and it was $24, and I know we can get it for $16, so I didn't want it for $24. But this is on my top 10 list of projects to do now that we're stationary for a month, to get this decorative aluminum and make myself my earring organizer, because I'm super excited about it. So if you have a chance, Mary Beth, look that up.
I will. And, you know, that makes me think of, and I meant to mention this when we were talking about our tips, and when I was talking about kind of trying to think outside the box. So speaking of pictures on previous posts, did you see the one that them not too long ago with somebody was asking about where they work in their RV, like where do you set up your desk? And someone showed this handy dandy little, like, so they, you know, our master bed flips up and we have under bed storage under there. So this person has some kind of setup that, you know, they flip the master bed up during the day because clearly you don't need your bed up during the day. So they flip the bed up, and then out pops this handy little table and all the things that that person needed to work with. And they just put their chair up to there. So that's my next thing. I'm trying to figure out how can I, you know, put the bed up during the day and use that space for some kind of workspace project.
Ooh, I love that. I've seen that in action several times, and it's quite inspiring, quite inspiring. I personally like to work at my big giant table now. That's my favorite place to be.
No, I'm but, so jealous of your big giant table. I love that big giant farm table you have in your RV now. Very jealous.
Yeah, I like to just mention it because it makes you jealous.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. I'll get you back get someday, just not
show.
Sure how.
Well, that is all the tips. And, you know, Mary Beth, I'm really excited, and I feel very proud of us. We didn't have any tips that overlapped.
All right, and we didn't even talk about it ahead of time. That's awesome.
I know. Crazy. So, you know, this Road School week in my Road School coming up, I have three birthdays. Two in my actual rig, and one the James Gang is having a birthday. Austin from the James Gang is having a birthday on Friday, and then 2 days later it's Dominic next Sunday, and then the following Monday is Tonya. So, you know, we should do a show about birthdays on the road, because that was one of my major questions when I was looking to go full time. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you have a birthday on the road? And, you know, it's our seventh year on the road, and we've never struggled with finding people to share birthdays with on the road. So we should talk about that.
Definitely.
Before we do that, I do want to tell you what we will be talking about. I've taken the trouble to go to roadschoolmoms.com and update our list of shows that we're going to be talking about in the near future. And so the 26th is going to be we're going to be talking with the Giles Frontier special guest, Holly Giles, because we have the best spring curriculum to present to Road School Moms listeners. So tune in on February 26th for that. And then March 12th, we start, where does it say March 5th? Because March 5th, we have your special guest. Oh, I don't know.
I've seen that too. Those, like, the logos on there, but it's on March the 5th. We are going to have a special, live interview with Sandra Jones Keller. She's the author of 21 Lessons to Empower the New Age Kid. And it's someone I met here in Florida, and I've just been so inspired talking with her. She's actually going to talk with us about the intention of her program that helps you tap into the universal intelligence of your child. And let me tell you, talking with her is totally energizing. And when you get done talking with her, you're all ready to go. And her book is awesome. She's actually going to give us a giveaway that evening, a autographed copy of that book. And I can't wait to talk with her March 5th.
Awesome. Super excited. I'm excited to talk to her, too. I've been hearing you talk about her book for a while now, so be good. Then March 12th, we kick off a money-making series. That's always the $56 million question, how do you make money on the road? And the Road School Moms like to dedicate a couple shows a season to the answers we've found that have worked for people. So March 12th, we're talking episode 1, Making Money as a Health Coach. March 19th, episode 2, Making Money as a Chef. And March 26th, episode 3, Making Money as a Blogger/Vlogger. So if you're looking for opportunities to make money on the road and live a location-independent lifestyle, then we encourage you to join in on all of those shows and see if any of the solutions we present resonate with you.
I love that. So I just want to remind you, if you're listening to us on a replay tonight, thank you for hitting the replay button. Don't forget, when you're done, to give us a review over at iTunes. Those reviews really help push our podcast where it needs to go so that we can reach just as many as Road School Moms that we can in our community. If you do leave us a review, please send me an email over at info@roadtripteacher.com, and I will send you the digital product of your choice for free.
Perfect. Well, I think that's all the information I have from us tonight.
Okay. Well, I will remind you then to join us again next Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Ultimate Radio Show Network. Again, we have our library over at iTunes, so you can check us out over there. Katie and I have over 100 shows where we've gotten together on Sunday nights and talked about all kinds of subjects. You couldn't even name them all if you tried. So, join us back next Sunday night, same time, same place. We'll be here with Holly Giles talking about that spring curriculum. Can't wait. Until then, safe travels and God bless.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work. And may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to RoadSchoolMoms.com.